Breakfast with Martin Bester.
What goes through my head?
When you hear about top billing and all those kinds of things, you want to go back?
Why was the time?
25 years later, I think, is a quarter of a century where an iconic lifestyle show has had its good run. I think it has reached a place and a time where we want to, you know, create new content. And I think when I look back on Top Billing and the jobs it has created, the talent it has unearthed and inspired just excellence, whether it's in the art, whether it's in architecture, in music, in fashion, in travel. So I think we've delivered a property that has changed even a speak and language. People often, you'll hear about a top billing house.
So even the
lingo has changed. And I think it's done its work.
Do you see the memes going around? So funny. Like, no, I mean the one he showed the ones.
What does it say? Rugby players are now asking, like, Shame, what's the point of getting married now?
No, that cannot be on the show.
Because it's like, did it even happen?
We loved love on Top Billing, and we loved celebrating love and covering people's beautiful weddings. So, yeah.
So, what's going to happen now?
Yeah.
Now
what's
the point?
I'm not getting married now.
No.
Come on.
No.
There's OPW.
Okay. I see you.
But you must have had. I mean, how long were you doing that?
25 years. I was a youngster when I started on television.
Can you believe that?
I was 20 when I won Miss South Africa. Oh. And 25 years later, Top Billing, you know, we have had our swan song. 25 years later of being an entrepreneur, 25 years later of walking my walk with the Lord, it's 25 years later of just charting a different course of what a girl child can achieve. So it's been a conscious 25 years, and the trajectory of my life has been one that has, you know, I've applied my mind very well in what I wanted to create the last 25 years.
1994, hey? Mm-hmm. A significant year to become a Miss South Africa. I mean, Liesl, you would probably agree, that moment when it happens, it only comes to you days afterwards, because you hear your name and then it's just, you know, all the music and the voices and stuff. It must be crazy in your head right about then.
Not if you've planned it. I think, I think Bussy can also attest to this. If it's something that you work for a very long time and it's something you set your heart on, when it happens, it's like a aha moment. It's like that moment. Mm. And by the way, I was crowned on Basitsana's birthday.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
On the 29th of March. 2015.
Oh. That's for sure.
But I mean, what do you remember from that day?
On that night, it is quite surreal when you hear your name and the winner is Basitsana Makhalimele. I got complete shock because, first of all, I mean, the other 11 contestants, and you don't know, you know, how good is your chance. But then you hear your name and you snap into the mode of understanding the moment. And so I win in 1994. And it's a critical year in our country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
New democracy, new government, new dispensation. South Africa is on the world stage. So I win at a time where there's just so much going on. And then juxtaposed with this 20-year-old from the township wearing the crown. Mm-hmm. As you all know that previously, before 1992, black people were not allowed to enter Miss South Africa. Mm. And so the timing of it all, I could not have scripted it better myself, even if I tried. And so it was a turning point, I think, even for the pageant itself, where, you know, years later it became more representative.
See, Liesl, even if you did expect it, just act surprised.
No, Bussy paved the way for the likes of myself. So at that point, I was like, this is it. This is where I'm going.
You know, if you spend most of your adult life in the limelight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Was there a moment where it took its toll? It's a lot of attention.
It's a lot of attention to grow up in the spotlight, literally in a fishbowl.
Yeah.
Because when you fail, you fail spectacularly
publicly.
And so your wins are great, but your failures can be magnified. And I very early on in my pageant days, after winning in South Africa, I decided that I'm going to live my authentic truth, and okay. And not allow the title or the spotlight define me in what I'd become, even post Miss South Africa. It was understanding that if I remain true to me, that's good enough. And even the decisions that I've made, whether it's in business, you know, personally marrying my husband, those are the decisions that I made because they felt right for me, not because there was an expectation. Yes, as a public figure, there's some expectations, but I think to a large degree, we put up a lot of pressure on ourselves as well, because we want to be these perfect beings. But it's okay when you're imperfect, in your trying to be perfect.
Sure.
But and so for me, it's had its ups and downs.
What was the hardest part? What was the toughest moment?
Probably.
And do you talk about it
in the book?
In the book,
yes. I think probably the toughest time was I was in an abusive relationship, and my boyfriend used to beat me up, and the last straw, he pulled a gun at me, and I ended up in hospital. And so to have to live that publicly, where it made headlines, it was a very difficult time, you know. And gender-based violence is a real stigma in our society. We know that every 3 hours a woman is murdered in South Africa, and so it was important for me to walk away, but also to use my voice. Hence, I write about it in the book, that gender-based violence looks like a basetsana. It knows no race, no class, no status, no religion. And for me, it was important to use my voice to say, no, enough is enough. And women have to walk away with their lives.
One of the great reasons why you should be reading this book is to take a page from your life lessons and from your journey, from where you've been to where you are now, and how you rose above it.
And
a lot of women are still in that situation.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And why I titled my book My Journey of Hope, it's really to ignite a sense of optimism, not only in women, but in our country. Because 25 years later, we find ourselves very challenged as a nation. Mm. We look at the rate of high unemployment rate, the youth unemployment rate. Mm. There's just so many challenges. And I want to ignite the sense of hope that we used to have, you know, in 94. The Madiba effect that we used to have. And there's just such a sense of hopelessness where we sit today. And so I want my book, anybody who picks up a page, they can find something in my story. I speak very openly about my depression in my book when I had my miscarriages. At 20 weeks I lost twins, and I speak about that openly because women are going through so much, and how you can get to the other side, whatever challenges you are facing. Remain hopeful, remain optimistic, and trust that the sun will shine again.
I think it's very significant that it's you telling the story, because you have been on screen, and we spoke about it just now, the top billing, you know, effect and lingo.
Yeah.
When something is very la-di-da and perfect looking and very grand looking, and even the way that they put the program together, it's almost they were going for absolute perfection in every sentence and the way that you presented it and stuff. So that's significant to me. You this beacon of that, you know, and then the imperfections that have been in your life.
Isn't it such an oxymoron?
Yes, an oxymoron. I like that. The juxtaposition of the top billing persona, and then when you say you talk in the book about violence. And
that top billing persona of perfection, I guess, in how we used to curate the show.
Yeah.
The gloss, the high glam, the aspirational aspect of it.
Yeah.
When, on the other hand, one's life is actually not that perfect. It does not mean that one does not strive for perfection. But it's important that, you know, we become so hard on ourselves because of what we think the world expects of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, something happened to me when I turned 40. I had she's just turned 5 now. I had my daughter. And it was a definitive moment in the conversation that I had with myself.
Yeah.
And I asked myself, how will I measure my life? And it was very poignant for me. And I decided that the lessons that I've learned, whether it's from the Top Billing journey, my own personal life lessons, I need to put them in literary form, such that somebody one day can pick them up and pick some lessons that would help them not pay the same school fees, not make the same mistakes that I have made, and therefore chronicle it in a manner that I have in my memoir. And it's understanding that the tapestry, the text, and the beauty of life is all, it has all these facets, and it's showing up at that moment for that particular chapter of your life, for your journey. And having produced Top Billing for 25 years, it's just remarkable. What a gift, what a blessing that I could be able to do that consistently for so long.
You used the word igniting just now. You did also elevate the sense of dressing this morning. I actually went to look. No, seriously, I did. I went to fish out these nice pair of socks this morning, at least for once. Nice shorts. Aww. And Gerda's even, she put on a bit of a
lip. Did you put lipstick on?
Did you? Well, okay, and a bit of glitter. So thank you for that. And thank you for adding a bit of class to the show. Basitsana Khumalo. More from her coming up. Basi, My Journey of Hope is a book by Basitsana Khumalo, our guest on the show this morning. Is it hard doing a book like this because you have to go and revisit a lot of things in your life and, you know, you've taken back to many memories, good and bad?
It was very intense, the process of writing. I've always been one who journals, so when I decided to finally put the book together, I went on a writer's retreat and I had to recollect a lot of things. I actually kept a dictaphone over the years, you know, an experience, a moment, a memory, I would then record it.
Oh, wow.
So just sitting through the process of finishing it, because of my journey, I found just the process of writing cathartic, very healing, and as I said, quite intense. I didn't quite expect where it would take me, some of the chapters. There were moments, there's a lot of loss in the book. I speak about losing my parents and my multiple miscarriages, and the moments when I was writing that part of my chapter, at one point I had to just stop because the keyboard was so soaked, it would stop working. Because I had to really go deep and dig a lot of stuff that I actually had buried that I'd never actually necessarily wanted to ever deal with.
Resentment?
No. I'm one who lives in light. I believe in living in harmony, and even through, you know, the writing process, I found my peace. I found my peace through betrayals, and forgiveness for me is a very big thing, and so it's a very healing book as you journey with it through the end.
I speak a lot to people who have biographies or autobiographies out, and it, every time the one thing I take from it is actually quite a healing process. Because you're forced to go back and deal with things that you may have at the time not dealt with properly.
Quite right.
But in the book, I got the same sense with our guest from last week.
Yes.
Okay, a much different story, obviously, about the Springs Monster. But the same thing is how you deal with it, you know, as you write about it.
And it allows you to be true to you as you unearth those experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Of course, it's important.
And I was very clear that I was going to write a raw, candid, honest account of my book. And I left nothing unsaid.
I have a little bit of resentment towards Top Billing. I'm not going to lie to you.
Because it didn't give you a chance to travel, right?
No. In a way, yes. It was the most traumatizing
audition
casting of my life.
Did you?
I auditioned for it many years ago, and let me tell you something. I was out of my depth to a very, very embarrassing extent, because what they do is they put names, and I googled this name now again, Don Quixote. Right, was one of the names that they throw into the script. Do you remember that?
I've done many a presenter search.
And then I was there, My luister hiersonne, kyk hiersonne, hierdie ouetjie van PE, he stuffed up every name. Like as in Donkey, Quickot, Quickoxie, I hope that you never keep stuff like that and that oh. always gets destroyed.
I wish it's there.
You know, television is a very nerve-wracking medium. Yeah. And
castings are awful. It's awful. The most awful thing you can ever do in your life.
And the minute people see the camera, people just freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you stuttle and stumble, you know, it's just, on your words.
They hoy those names in Britain.
Yes.
Because you got to hold your pose. And the top billing pose is actually pretty quite classy.
Do you know how?
Not yet, even now. Now my life,
come on, Martin.
I've made peace with it.
I'm so sorry.
I hope you still have that footage. No, if we have that footage, no, I will pay no, actual
listen,
money.
No, better no. go into the archives and try and find that footage.
No,
please, no. That actually, some beautiful comments coming in this morning. 084-850-0942.
Morning, Martin and team. She's a lady with grace and style and an example to us all.
Hi, Martin Bester. Thanks for bringing the lady on the show. I mean, sometimes we imagine that when people have lived such a life, they don't go through things. But I can't imagine what it's like to have an abusive boyfriend, then lose your twins. I always thought I had the worst of it. But girl, thanks for strengthening many, many women this morning. I'm touched. I am crying.
That's why you did it, right?
That's what it's about. Mm. To give truth a face. Mm. When I hear a comment like that, then it is well with my soul. It means that the journey of writing this book has come to the world to do that which it was meant to do. And I'm very humbled to hear that.
Basetsana Khumalo on the show is our special guest. So you have honestly met and interviewed and rubbed shoulders with some major names. Mm-hmm. And I am that guy. I'm curious. I'm going to throw a couple of names at you. Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was just an awkward interview. He was speaking so softly that I was battling to hear him. But I mean, hey, to have just met the king of pop.
Sure.
I've been very blessed. I mean, even with the many other interviews that I speak about in the book.
Oprah,
absolutely.
Was she nice?
She was just fantastic. Yeah. You know, you can never meet Oprah and then leave the same after having been in her space.
Okay.
Just an extraordinary being and energy. One of my faves was Luther Vandross.
Luther Vandross.
I love Luther. Mm. And of course, Madiba, Gloria Estefan.
Talk to me about your relationship with Nelson Mandela. It was...
When I won Miss SA in 1994, I actually received a call from Zelda saying that the president would like to speak to you. I thought that was the biggest joke of all. And indeed, on the other line, it was Madiba saying, congratulations, our queen. We're very proud of you. And
did you first think maybe this is like someone putting you...
Like pranking.
I know, you know what I mean? And Madiba was very intentional in how he embraced me. As an ambassador of a new nation, and he felt very much that I represented a sense of hope, a sense of possibilities
of
what a black girl child can achieve. And to be mentored by him and having been mentored by such a wise man has been one of my greatest privileges, and indeed a blessing. And with Madiba, I learned servant leadership, I learned selflessness, I understood what humility looks like, because he walked in that truth. And one of the things that he inspired me is to always dare to dream, be courageous. And actually, one of the signatures that I use on my mail is one of his quotes that says, and I quote, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it." And so there's just many lessons that I share in the book that Madiba taught me.
Are we missing some of that sentiment?
Of course we are. I think his passing was a passing of an era. And I think we have, to some degree, as a country, have lost that spirit of optimism that we had pre-1994, and that we could be able, for example, to overthrow a system, an apartheid system. And 2019 later, because of the challenges, I want to ignite that sense of hope again through the book.
To conquer other challenges.
Other challenges, because life has challenges, and I'm currently reading the book by the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop Desmond Tutu, The Book of Joy. And they say in the book that life has its own challenges and life has suffering. However, it's how we choose to respond to the challenges of life that matters. And I find that very profound, that we all, you know, don't have a bed of roses in terms of life's daily struggles, but it's our choice on how we react and how we respond to those, you know, many challenges.
And that speaks exactly to your book, Bussy, My Journey of Hope. You can get it all in here. The book is available nationwide. We're also giving away a signed copy of the book this morning on Twitter. Here's your question. What's the name of the book? I just gave it away now. Hashtag Jack at Breakfast. What's the name of Basitsana's book that you need to get your hands on? One signed copy up for grabs on Twitter this morning. How do you handle criticism?
I do not suffer fools. People's perception of me do not determine who I am and what I become. I always say that...
People's perception of me...
do not determine who I am and what I become.
I like that.
And I've always understood this, that it's not about me. When people criticize, it's self-judgment and it's a projection.
Tells you more about them.
Correct.
Thank you.
And so I'm released of expecting compliments per se, but if they do come, I graciously receive them. But I'm not a subject to people's perceptions, because then I will stop living my true life.
Love it. Same WhatsApp group. Now, you said earlier that you like a bit of Diana Ross. Now, I'm thinking I've got a couple of options here. Now, which one do you think is more bussy? I've got a bit of Upside Down. I've got a bit of Endless Love. I've got a bit of You Can't Hurry Love.
Hey,
I Will Survive.
Confused.
Which one? Let's go with Upside Down. Yeah, I love this. So we're going to do a bit of lip syncing and a bit of vibing here in the studio with Basitsana Khumalo. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Get your hands on the book. Journey of Hope.
Upside down.
Boy, you tell me. Inside out.
Sing it, sister.
Round and round. Come on. Upside down. Boy, you turn me inside out. Round and round. Come back again soon. We love you on the show. Basitsana Khumalo.
Breakfast with Martin Bester.
I listen to Martin Bester because he keeps it real.
Jacqueline FM's Breakfast with Martin Bester.
Martin Bester.